You're listening to the Small Business Talk podcast with Kathy Smith.
Episode 57.
Small Business Talk is a podcast for business owners and entrepreneurs who want a better way to run their businesses without spending years doing it the hard way. Small Business Talk is hosted by Kathy Smith, who has run the same marketing agency for more than 17 years. And help hundreds of business owners achieve their marketing goals.
Hey, I'm so glad you could join us.
Today, we are very excited to have Victoria. And Victoria is from Brilliant Speakers Academy. And today we're going to be talking about how to overcome your fear as a public speaker, which is something a lot of us need to do. So welcome, Victoria.
Hello, Kathy. I'm very excited to be here.
Excellent. So, Victoria, if you can tell us who you are and where you're from and why you're going to be able to help us.
All right. Well, I'm Victoria Lyuznyansky. I am an entrepreneur. I have several businesses that I'm running, and one of my businesses is Brilliant Speakers Academy. I help introverts specifically to overcome the fear of public speaking. And myself, I'm originally from Russia. I've lived in the U.S. for about 25 years. I've always been terrified, absolutely terrified of public speaking. Like, if you can imagine your worst fears, I was right there. I've had a long and winding road, a very long journey to overcome my own fears. And when I was finally at a point where I was absolutely comfortable on stage, I wasn't scared at all. I was enjoying my time on stage, my time on camera, my time on podcasts. People started asking me if I always was like this, if they were telling me how I'm a natural, and I felt like, okay, maybe there is something to it. Maybe there is something to what I've done for myself that can help people who are in the same shoes, people who are introverts, people who are terrified public speaking, who cannot imagine being in front of a microphone. Maybe I can help them do the same. And so I've built a whole program, a set of frameworks, of systems, pretty much took apart every experience that I've had and reworked it, re-engineered it.
So that sounds brilliant. I know a lot of our audiences are introverts. Me, myself, if you had have told me that I would be interviewing people all over the world 12 months ago, well, probably 18 months ago now, I would not have believed you. So it's amazing how far we can come when we actually put ourselves out there. But let's shorten the learning curve for our listeners. And what would be a couple of tips that you would suggest that we should be looking at?
I think the most important thing is to change your mindset about public speaking. The truth is, people are always looking for shortcuts. They're always looking for some tips and tricks, right? Everybody's like, well, just tell me what to do. It's not about how you walk and talk on stage. It's not about how you gesture. It's not about how you, you know, show up on video. It's not about how you show up on podcast. It's not about you, believe it or not. And when you change your mindset that it's not about you, that public speaking is actually not about you, it's about your audience, that's when shifts start to happen. You know, I find it so interesting that you mentioned even 12 months ago, you wouldn't have been able to do what you're doing now, where you're speaking with strangers all over the world, interviewing them on air. I bet you that what made that whole experience so much more comfortable for you is that you realized that you're not doing it for yourself. You're not talking to other people just so that you can be on air. You're realizing how much value you are bringing to your listeners. You're probably realizing that it's all for their benefit and not for yours.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely the case. And sometimes when I think, oh, I've got to do a podcast episode, who will I talk to or what will I do? I'm always at the forefront of my mind is what would my listeners like? How can I help them? So yes, it's definitely a mind shift about not worrying about how I feel. It's how I can help my listeners.
Absolutely. And I think the root of fear is in the fact that we're constantly worried about what will our audience think of us, right? As soon as somebody goes on stage, goes on a live stream, on video, wherever, as soon as you're in front of an audience, we all have that same problem. We all think, oh, what if I'm not enough? What if I'm not smart enough? What if I'm not knowledgeable enough? What if they find out that I don't know anything, right? We all know it. Everybody suffers through it. And it's completely illogical. It makes no sense because we are enough. We are experts, but it doesn't feel like that when we're in front of an audience, when fear really grips us. I think what really helps, and you know, just going back to thinking about your audience, our brain is not truly capable of thinking about several major things at the same time. Our brain can only focus on one big thing. And if that one big thing is, oh, I'm so scared because, oh, they're judging me. Oh, they now know I'm a fraud. Then that's all you can focus on. You're going to still mechanically speak, but it's not going to be the same experience for your audience. Versus when you are focusing on your audience from the very beginning, when instead of thinking, what do they think of me? You turn the tables and you think, how can I make them feel?
That is just so true, isn't it? And a lot of people have imposter syndrome. And like you say, it's very interesting when you hear some of the big names and people you look up to say that they still have imposter syndrome. We've actually done two different episodes in Small Business Talk on imposter syndrome. Something that's out there, we definitely need to be looking at serving and helping our audience rather than worrying about what we're actually doing. That overcomes the fear a lot, I think.
Yes, absolutely. And so this is the biggest mindset shift that I think anybody who struggles with public speaking fears needs to make. Again, as soon as you are in front of your audience, instead of asking yourself, what does my audience think of me? And I'm so scared because they're judging me. Instead of that statement, you turn it around and you make it, how can I make my audience feel? Because it's all about what we can do for our audience. You know, the best public speakers are givers. They're not receivers. They're not standing on the stage going like, me, 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 give it to me, right? Our audience is so savvy right now. I mean, let's get real. I don't know, maybe 40, 30, 40 years ago when somebody is on stage and they're full of themselves, that was fine, but not anymore. Right now, audiences everywhere are exposed to so much public speaking every single day. You know, you're driving to work, you're driving to your office, you're listening to a podcast. It's public speaking. You come turn on your computer, you go to Facebook. Oh, you watch a video. Public speaking. Then you may go attend a live event. Somebody's on stage. Somebody could be on live TV. Somebody could be doing a live stream. We are surrounded by public speaking. And as audience, we're becoming really, really savvy about recognizing when somebody is fake, when somebody is not quite focused on us as their audience and they're full of themselves, right? I mean, am I right? We really hear it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you definitely do. And when they're not authentic, when they're trying to portray themselves as somebody else or they don't actually have the knowledge that they're trying to speak, the audiences are very savvy and they can get their BS monitors up quite quickly.
Yes.
And really knock that about. And I guess the other point too is that we're personally our own harshest critics. So quite often people will say, oh, you've done such a great job. I really like what you're doing. And you go, oh, but I did this. I made that mistake. I didn't say that word. So we're definitely our own harshest critics. Okay, so we're changing our mindset to serve and give, not take, and not worry about our own fears. What else would you suggest that we should be doing and the audience should be doing to be more comfortable on stage?
Going back to being genuine, to being authentic. I think it's very, very important. So as soon as you start thinking about your audience, right, that's number one, you start thinking about your audience, you focus on your audience, then you let go of any notions that you have of how a perfect public speaker is supposed to show up, because there is no perfect. If you try to show up as somebody else, they hear it, just like we've talked about. And there is only for so long you can stay in character. We're not that great of actors. We can be in character for, you know, weeks and weeks and months and whatever, right? So it's much easier to come in as yourself and stay as yourself because then you're not focused again the whole time. Again, brain is only thinking about one big thing. So if you're still now, if you're not, you know, thinking about yourself that I'm a fraud, but if you're thinking, okay, I'm going to sound exactly as that big influencer that everybody knows and everybody loves. I'm going to use her words. I'm going to use her intonation. I'm just going to be like her. And then they love me. No. When you are focusing on that, again, you're not, first of all, you're not serving your audience because they need you. You are enough. You know, if we say it so often, you are enough, and people kind of stop hearing it. but you really need to hear it. You are enough means that what you know is enough. And the way you have your experiences stacked up is enough. The way your life story has gone so far is enough, because the way you can explain, present, and impact your audience, only you can do. Only you have that experience, only you have that background. If you and I were given exactly the same talk, somebody gave us a talk word for word and we had to present it, you and I would present it completely differently, because both of us are going to inject our own personality, our own life story in it, our own examples. So it's extremely, extremely important to go there in front of your audience as yourself, as the real you.
Yes, definitely, because I think that's it. And like you say, if we were doing exactly the same talk, some people would resonate with you because of your life story, and other people would resonate with me. And I think that's definite for speakers, is you go and watch somebody talk and you go, yeah, I like that person, that's great, and you'll follow them. Other people, you go, oh, I don't know about that, that wasn't quite for me. So you're not going to be everything to everybody, but if you're genuinely you, you can show up every time the same way. And that's another thing that people really need, is consistency. They don't want to see you acting as the fool one time and then something else another time. So, yeah, we do definitely have to be our authentic self.
Yes, and Kathy, you're so right. And what you mentioned, I also want to focus on something that you just said. When we show up as authentic selves, we attract some people, but we're going to repel other people. And that's okay. You shouldn't worry about it. Again, you're in front of the audience. You're given everything that you have. You're focused on how you can impact your audience. And somebody in that audience may not like you. And that's totally cool. We repel some people. We attract other people. If they don't resonate with us, then we're not their person. And that's totally fine. We don't need to resonate with 100% of people. You're still going to resonate with a lot of people.
For sure. And sometimes it can be a stage too. So if you're, for instance, talking about some sort of business advice, somebody in the audience mightn't resonate with you because they're not at that stage in their business yet, or they're over that stage. So sometimes if it's an early stage in their business, they might then come back to you a bit later on once they've reached that next milestone goal or next problem.
Absolutely. And then going from being genuine, being authentic, let's talk about making mistakes. Whenever you are genuine on stage, on camera, wherever you are, people, you're already attracting people, so people already like you. And then, oops, you've made a mistake. And that really scares a lot of people, because, you know, we are all programmed in a way that we don't want to make a mistake because we don't want to appear stupid, right? The last thing, and that's what I hear from a lot of my students, oh, I don't want to do public speaking because I'm afraid I'll look stupid. Well, news, you won't look stupid. Number one, when you're on stage and they're in the audience, they already see you as an expert. They're already looking at you as an expert just because you're the one who has a microphone. You're the one, and it's, you know, even figuratively speaking, right, in podcasts, same way. And when you make a mistake, funny enough, your audience not only forgives you for that mistake, but they can also relate to you a lot more because your mistakes make you human.
And I think sometimes that's where we do go wrong too, is we try to polish everything and make it so perfect that becomes an issue, because after a while people go, oh, well, she's so good. I really don't want to follow her because I'm scared that I'll never achieve that height. So by being authentic and making the mistakes, obviously not on purpose, but you always laugh at it and go, yeah, okay. So that is the way that we are, and we're not perfect. And I can really resonate with you. I can understand where you're coming from. And you are a person.
Yes, ooh, absolutely. And that, again, you see how it all comes together, right? It all comes together, how you think about your audience, how you are genuine, how you're authentic, and you're not afraid to make mistakes. Now, if you do make mistakes, just as you said, it's okay. You laugh it off, you correct yourself, you keep on going. And if it was a mistake that nobody would even notice, like only you know that it was a mistake and nobody else would know, like, for example, you are given a presentation and you had specific order of events that you're describing, and then, oops, you forgot something and you skipped it. And then you continue going and you're like, oh, but I made a mistake. They don't know. They don't have your script in front of them. They have no clue what you forgot to say. So when you make a mistake, you do one of two things. You either, if that was a noticeable mistake, you just continue going like nothing happened. If it was a noticeable mistake, you know, Jennifer Lawrence falling down at the Oscar awards, right, on stage. Fairly noticeable mistake. What did she do? She was perfect. She was probably the most perfect person that I've ever seen, how the way she handled her mistake. She fell down. She laughed at herself with everybody else. She got up. She kept on going. And this is what all of us need to incorporate, not only in our public speaking, but also in our lives. You know, we make a mistake. It is what it is. It happened. We laugh it off. We correct it. We keep on going like nothing happened. Audience is going to forgive you, particularly if the rest of your presentation or your live stream or your podcast is really good. They wouldn't care. And so you shouldn't let the fear of making a mistake and showing up as somebody who is not 100% perfect, you shouldn't let that fear stop you in your tracks. You will make a mistake. We all make mistakes. You will make a mistake. You know that. So that's okay. Nobody cares about being you being perfect. What they care about is how much you care about them, right? Very famous quote. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's the most important thing.
Yes, absolutely. I did a bloopers reel for the Small Business Talk of mistakes that I made, including things like not pressing record and not having the right microphones, all of that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, I've shaken it off and here we are continuing to go. So sometimes you just need to learn by that mistake. Yeah, I've never not pressed record since then and I've always checked my microphone before I start. So sometimes you just need those mistakes to actually jolt your memory that you need to do it. Okay, so we've talked about audience, we've talked about being genuine, we've talked about celebrating and overcoming your mistakes. What else would you suggest that we should be doing to help us with our public speaking?
There is a very specific tip for introverts, and it applies more when you are on stage or in a meeting or in front of your audience face to face. Because a lot of people feel comfortable with microphone when they are behind the computer, you know, like a podcast or a live stream or a video. They're not live in front of an audience. A lot of people are terrified of being in that live situation in front of an audience. And what particularly introverts find overwhelming is that there are so many people in the audience. Even if there are 10, there are so many people, so many eyes are on you. You're kind of lost. You feel judged. You're lost. You don't know where to look. And there is a very good tip that I want to give you to deal with that kind of overwhelm. We as introverts are really good in one-on-one conversations, right? We just don't like one-to-many. But give us one-on-one, oh, we're great. In fact, we're so much better at one-on-one than I would say extroverts, because extroverts go, you know, into very surfacey topics and it's very light conversation, where we as introverts, very often we go deeper, even with strangers, but it has to be one-on-one, because one-to-many makes us really scared, really overwhelmed. What I want you to try is to imagine public speaking not as a one-to-many relationship, but as a one-to-one relationship. And here is how you do it. You go on stage, there is a sea of faces in front of you. You don't look at that sea, because that's going to overwhelm you right away, because it immediately becomes one-to-many. What you do is you find one person in the audience, one random person. You look them straight in the eye. You make true, genuine eye contact like you and I would if we met in person. And for the next 5 seconds, you're only talking to that person. You are having a true, meaningful one-on-one conversation. Granted, the other person cannot say anything back, but they can give you nonverbal feedback. They can nod their head. They can smile back. They are still giving you some sort of a feedback. And then after the 5-7 seconds, you look at the other side of the whole of the room and you find somebody else. And now you are only talking to that person. Again, eye contact only with that person. Nobody else exists for you in the world. You are having a true one-on-one conversation with the person that you are making eye contact with. And then you shift again to another person. You never look at the crowd, so to speak, because that immediately sends you into overwhelm, into panic, anxiety, and everything that has to do with the fear. But when you stick with, you put blinders on, I am not looking at anybody else. I'm only looking at one person at a time, and I'm having my regular one-on-one conversation with that one person. And that's what you stick with. You will be amazed at how much easier, more comfortable, and more natural public speaking from stage will become for you.
What a wonderful tip. I've never heard that before. You hear all sorts of weird and wonderful things that you should do. But, yeah, just picking out one person for a short term and then moving, because then, of course, people think you're scanning the room and everybody's included. So with that kind of scenario, what would you suggest that you should be doing if it's like a problem-solving type thing where it might be a little bit uncomfortable to pick one person? They don't want to feel that they're targeted in the time that you're speaking about a specific issue.
I would still say you literally look at that person, you still make eye contact, but you can shorten the time a little bit, 2 seconds. So you're looking, you're still okay. Scanning the room. I think what's important is making that real true eye contact with the person, because only that makes us feel as if we're having a one-on-one conversation. And that's going to remove the overwhelm. Anytime you look, oh my gosh, I still remember back when, you know, when I was little and I had really, really, really traumatic experience, when I'm looking at 1,000 people in the audience, my brain went just completely blank. I couldn't even think anymore because I was looking at that whole huge ocean of faces. And I know everybody experiences it, particularly introverts. And so I think it's extremely, extremely, extremely important to look a person straight in the eye and have that one-on-one conversation. Now, I do not recommend, and I know some people advise this, I don't, to look above your audience. Like pretend you're looking somewhere, but you're actually looking above the heads and you're talking to the wall. I do not recommend it. You know why? Because then you're faking a conversation. We already talked about it. You don't want to be faking anything. You want to be yourself. You can't fake a conversation. You have to have a conversation. Public speaking is a conversation. And you can only have a conversation when you speak to one person at a time. So for us introverts, I really stand by this advice. I think it's going to really, really, really help your audience.
Yeah. And also, if you're looking above, then you're not including anybody. So therefore, the audience is also going to feel your fear because you're not talking to any of the audience. And they could also then see that as a slight arrogance or a disinterest. So why are you standing up there? You're not really the expert if you're not interested in me, the audience person.
Yes.
So I think that really is advice that's probably not so good, certainly for introverts. So we do need to be talking to one person at a time, even though there's 1,000 one people at a time in the audience. But breaking that down is really good. Okay, we're talking to one person at a time. So what would you say would be your last tip to really nail it and bring home that public speaking for introverts?
Okay, so we've talked about it's all about your audience and you want to think about the benefit to your audience, how you can help them, how you can educate them, how you can transform them. And you have to change your mindset. We are speaking to one person at a time. We are not afraid of making mistakes because we are showing up as a genuine, authentic self. Those are probably the most important thing. And then the next, or maybe the last thing I should say, for introverts in particular. As introverts, and I think a lot of people are mistaken what introversion actually is. A lot of people think that if you're shy, you're an introvert. No, there are a lot of introverts who are not shy. I'm not shy at all, but I am an introvert. Because basically an introvert is somebody who recharges and charges differently from extroverts. We drain our batteries when we talk to a lot of people. And then we recharge our batteries when we are alone. So having said that, my last piece of advice is if you are an introvert, you really need to understand this and plan for this. If you do have a talk, so let's say you have a talk in front of a big audience, do not do a networking event a few minutes before that. Don't try to go and meet a whole bunch of strangers because it's going to drain you completely and you need to have 100% battery full when you are on stage. Then you give your 100%, you've given everything you have. And then after you're done with whatever you're doing, you recorded the video, you did the podcast, you spoke live, you have to give yourself some time to recharge your batteries. So you have to plan your public speaking event, whatever medium it is in, you have to plan it in a way that you get there with a full battery and you have an opportunity to recharge your empty battery after. I think it's very, very important. I really like to give an example of Elvis Presley, who was one of the biggest introverts. Just funny enough, I didn't know that until I visited Graceland like 5 times. Anyway, What I find really interesting is he knew that about himself. He knew that he needs 100% full battery before he goes on stage. And so what he did is he walked to wherever he was performing, the 1,000 feet. His trailer would be 1,000 feet away, and he would walk there alone without talking to anybody, with, you know, bodyguards or whoever were somewhere else. He walked alone so he could focus, he could prepare mentally, and he could make sure that his battery is completely charged, so that when he stepped into the spotlight, he was completely mentally ready. And I really think as introverts, we need to think about that.
Yes, I think that's very important, because like you say, a lot of people think if you're an introvert that you must be shy and a little wallflower and meek. But as myself included, that's not always how we show up, and it's definitely not how we want to show up. But if we don't get that downtime, that me time, that alone time, and sometimes it's not necessarily always by yourself. It might be with a trusted girlfriend, or it might be your family is how you recharge, as opposed to a whole group of strangers. So you really need to look at what recharges you personally and build that in, and then build in the spaces between those public speaking engagements if that's what you're doing. If you're doing a whole run of tours or something, you may not be able to go on stage night after night. You might have to go on stage every second night, or go on stage for a couple of nights and then have a week off or something like that. So I think it's really important to know yourself and know how you recharge and how you need to use those points and tips. So this has been wonderful, Victoria. So with all my guests, I ask 5 final questions. So are you game?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, what was the best advice that has been given to you by a mentor?
One of my mentors is Marie Forleo, and I think the best advice that I've ever heard from her is, as a lot of people know, everything is figure outable. And the truth is, I've already been that way all my life. I always believed in my heart that everything is figure outable, and I always approach life and my businesses this way. But when she phrased it like that, everything is figure outable, I'm like, yes! Yes, that's my mantra. Yes, I totally get it.
I love that. And I love her other one that says, the world needs your special gift, that you're uniquely
yes.
you. There is nobody else like you.
Yeah, and the world needs a special gift that only you have. I just love it.
That's it. I knew I hadn't quite got the words right, but I knew that that was the
thing. You know what? That was the mistake that the audience forgives.
There we go. We're walking our talk. Excellent. Okay. What is the biggest help that you have received since starting your business?
I think the biggest help was enrolling into a mastermind that I'm part of. I truly believe that we can only get so far on our own. There are so many things, so many variables in, particularly in the online business. I'm very familiar with offline business. I've had several businesses, whereas the online business was something new. And so I feel the biggest help that I got was surrounding myself with like-minded people who were at the same level as I was. And at the same time, as a part of that mastermind, acquiring a mentor who can walk me through difficult situations and give me advice, because she's already walked that road. For anybody who's building a business, I feel it's very, very important to be a part of some sort of a mastermind or have a mentor. And it could be even a virtual mentor. It could be somebody, Kathy, like you. You have a podcast, and your listeners are looking at you as a mentor, as they should. And I think it's very, very important to have a person like that in your life and surround yourself with people who get you.
Definitely. And I think sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. We can't see our own issues. And it's also good to have somebody to talk to and bounce off, because sometimes your family's not at the same level, or they're not in business like you are. So it's always good to have those people that are roughly the same level. Plus, as you say, the ones that are further advanced than you are, so that they've already stepped those steps, and sometimes they can help you by you not having to fall in the same puddles that
right.
they have. So, okay, what is the one thing that you have to do every day? You're non-negotiable.
That's a hard one. I wish I gave you something really good, like, oh, I'm taking care of myself in this special way. I have 2 businesses, and I'm a mom of 2 kids, 4 dogs, and 3 cats. And then my husband also needs me, you know, from time to time. So the thing that I do every day that's completely and totally non-negotiable is take care of my kids and of my pets. That would be non-negotiable. Everything else is, you know, figure outable.
Ah, perfect. Okay, what is your favorite business book and why?
Favorite business book? My gosh, you know, I've been reading so many, and I'm actually trying to think to my earlier days when I read something that really resonated with me. I really liked, and it's, I don't know even why I loved it so much, but The Sales Machine by Chet Holmes. It wasn't even the sales techniques that he described in that book, because I felt some of them were not even working for me. It was the mindset that he had in that book that really, really resonated with me, and I kind of carried it along with me. I read that book a very long time ago, probably 10 years ago, and at the very beginning of that book, he talks about perseverance. He talks about pig-headed discipline and determination. I'm literally quoting him, pig-headed discipline and determination. And I truly believe in that. I truly believe that if you really want something badly enough, it's not about, oh, dreaming or, you know, hoping. It's not about that. It's about truly working on that goal, truly working and embracing the ups and downs, embracing the mistakes, embracing all the failures that you're going to have, and approaching no matter whichever goal you choose with pig-headed determination, resilience, and that would overcome any challenges that you may face. That book really, really grounded me in this idea.
Yes, that's perfect. In my day job, I'm a web designer, and I've been in business now 14 years web designing and 18 years in business totally. And people say, how did you stick it out? And yeah, sometimes it just is that stubbornness, that pig-headedness, and just that will to continue. And they say that you never fail if you keep going. So when things do get a little bit tough, if you can pivot, rework it and keep going, then that is definitely the way to go. Although saying that, the caveat to that is sometimes that it's definitely not going to work no matter what you do. So you do need to reassess your situation as well. And sometimes there is a point where you have to say, okay, it's really not going to work. We need to draw the line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect.
You know, completely off topic, but it's so funny that you mentioned that you do web design, because my very first business almost 20 years ago was a web design company.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so our last question is, what do you wish that you had known when you started out?
I wish somebody did tell me how important it is to be genuinely yourself. I remember myself in my mid-20s and how I was starting my first business, and, you know, I would go into sales calls and I would try and be, you know, this perfect salesperson that, you know, after reading all those books. And it took me years to realize, no matter whatever situation you are in, the best thing that you can do is be yourself. And now I walk in into any sales meeting and I slay it. Not because I apply some sort of techniques or, you know, sales closing, or I'm saying something specific. No, it's just I'm walking in, I'm being very, very genuine, and I do everything for the benefit of the person in front of me. And that really, really, really helps you to be the best you can be. And so that was probably, I wish somebody took me aside years back and said, hey, don't try so hard, just be yourself. And that's why I think it's so important not to get sidetracked with all of this online influences that you see, you know, every day on Facebook, on Instagram, and how perfect they all are, how perfect their feed is. Don't obsess with it. Don't even look at that. You need to be yourself. You need to be not just yourself, let me rephrase it, but the best version of you. And then you're going to be unstoppable.
Absolutely. And I think that's the other thing that people do, is if all this advice out there by the influencers, and they say post 100 times a day and don't worry about doing a sales call, post all of this sort of thing. But that wasn't what they were saying when they were at the same point you are. Now they're saying that because they've got hundreds of millions of followers and they've got a huge, big business. So they can do that. They can post content all day and not ask for sales and it's still run in. Whereas for small businesses, we don't have that readership. We don't have that audience. So we definitely do need to be asking for the sale, being authentically you and doing those sales calls. So I think that's perfect. So this has been absolutely wonderful, Victoria. So you did mention that you have students, so obviously you have a course. Would you like to quickly tell the SBT audience about that?
Absolutely. So my program is Brilliant Speakers Academy, and the doors are closed right now. But in this program, I take my students from exactly where they are right now, which is very uncomfortable with public speaking, very, very scared, not knowing what to do. And I take them from that all the way to being not just confident and engaging and captivating on stage, but actually loving the spotlight. If you would like to learn more about me, you can go to my website, www.byvictorial.com. And you can also grab my free training, which you can find right there on the website, or you can go to it directly, www.byvictorial.com/training. And it is really good. So I hope that you will grab it. It's absolutely free.
Wonderful. And we'll put that in the show notes so that people can just click straight there. So excellent, Victoria. Really appreciate it. And obviously, you've completely got over your stage fright and doing a wonderful job.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
So thank you for being part of our podcast. And I'm sure the SBT community will get a lot out of this. Thanks.
Thank you very much for having me. And good luck to everybody.
Don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Talk podcast and head on over to smallbusinesstalk.com.au/downloads for all the show notes and links to this episode. Remember, to be great, you must start. Pick one tip from today's episode, take action and implement it. Let's meet again next week at the same time and place. Until then, take action. And SBT community, enjoy your journey.